Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3, this is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. SiriusXM Channel 159. The biggie, Eric Cohen, will step up and in a couple of moments. Throw it down old school. Of course, Cohen was part of the crew for a couple of years, actually. It was a good run of the late night anger management class in those days. Some really funny shows, actually, in that era on HSR. So now the biggie, Eric Cohen, will step up and in. We'll get Cohen's NFL playoff thoughts. So, the UFC, where are they this week? Where is this card anyways? What is it?
It is in Brazil.
It is Brazil, huh?
For Glover Teixeira, Gabe. They have love.
Yeah, I know. I saw, what is it, Jeunesse Arena? That's French, too. I was confused by that, Matthias. I saw the picture of them outside an arena. But it had a French name on the arena name, so unless I read it wrong, I was like, I don't know. I thought they were in Brazil, not in France. But they were already in France. But anyways, yeah. Glover Teixeira is plus 104. Jamal Hill is minus 132. Minus 132. Other fights on the card: Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno, almost a pick 'em as well. Minus 130 and plus 102. Gilbert Burns is a minus 500 favorite against Neil Magny. Jessica Andrade is minus 530 against Lauren Murphy. Johnny Walker, minus 210 against Paul Craig, plus 162. And Shogun. Did you see that video, Matthias, of Shogun kicking a soccer ball and falling over?
No, but I wish I had.
All right. I'll send it to you right now. Like, it might change your mind if you want to bet on him. it might.
No, I'm definitely not.
How is this guy still fighting, man? Like, this guy, like, man, it's crazy, this guy. Like, I know he's not that old, but he really is. You know what I mean? Like, he's been fighting a long time. I know everyone gets mad when you say they're not, like, their real age and stuff, but I don't know, like, how old this guy says he is really true. Like, that's my deal with him. Let me look up, like, one. So, who do you like in that fight? You're not taking Shogun, are you?
No, Gabe, absolutely not. Absolutely not. On this card, I'm taking Terrence McKinney. I'm taking Johnny Walker, and I'm taking Jamahal Hill because he hits like a cannon, and I've seen him fight in person multiple times, and I could hear you just hear the power, Gabe. It's just different. That guy hits like a truck.
You always bet against Teixeira.
No. That's not true.
You know, I think maybe you've taken him once. Maybe you've taken him once or something.
But yeah, this time I respect Jamahal Hill. I don't like him as a person right now for all the crap that he's been talking the last few weeks after Dana White slapped around his wife. But you know what? He has a mean punch, Gabe, and Teixeira's hittable. I don't think Teixeira survives that hit to the head.
I kind of agree with you. I know, but we've also seen Teixeira win fights, and nobody thinks he's going to win. But I kind of agree with your take there. So Shogun's 41. He says he's 41. I guess I can live with that. His first fight was in 2002. 21 years of combat. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between. When are we playing some football again? It's like kind of the only thing that matters, right? Although we can't tell you that Rafa Nadal got bounced tonight. Mackenzie McDonald knocks Rafa Nadal out in straight sets, 3-0. So countdown to kickoff is on to Big E, Eric Cohen, TSN Edge will join us. We'll break it down from a betting perspective. We'll talk NFL football. And there's a lot of stuff to break down. There's a lot of numbers that are on the board for us to dissect. And this is a pretty crazy one here. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're favored in their 14th straight playoff game, the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. And Doug Peterson, all right, Doug Peterson is 5-1 outright and 6-0 against the spread as a playoff underdog in his coaching career, including the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And if you think back then, not a lot of people thought the Philadelphia Eagles were going to win that football game, right? You know, the Eagles were a good team, but it was Nick Foles, and it was Nick Foles versus Tom Brady. It was the great New England Patriots. Does the fact that Doug Peterson, now Andy Reid is a genius. We know this. The guy's just dialed in right now with his football team. We know you're going to hear a lot of people talk about Andy Reid off a bye. Andy Reid off a bye. So for the record, he's 25-8. All right. I think what's more, you know, we should point out is the fact that Mahomes is 9-1 off a bye in his career, and they score 30 points a game. I would really like to make an argument for the Jags in this game. I'd like the Cinderella story, and oh my God, can you believe it? Doug Peterson and the Jags knocked off Mahomes and the Chiefs, but I just don't see it happening. The Jaguar secondary is soft. They're, you know, man, there's open space all over the field. We saw the Chargers pick them apart, and the Chargers blow. What the hell do you think the Chiefs are going to do to them? Cinderella is going to be sent home. You got to leave. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by ChumbaCasino.com.
I am Gable Morenci, the fifth, the player, the hustler, the people, the bus, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down. SiriusXM channel 159. We kick it old school SiriusXM style. The Big E, Eric Cohen, steps up and in. TSN Edge in the house. Let's do this thing. A lot of stuff to unpack. Cohen, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Another wild, crazy night of sports. Seems like that's the way it is every single night these days.
Yeah, it's a busy time of the year. You figure that it wouldn't be. It's sort of the calm before the storm, midweek before the NFL playoffs. But you've got NHL hockey, college basketball, NBA basketball, the Australian Open going on. And one trend that we've been betting a lot, Cohen, as of late, is over 1.5 in the first period of the National Hockey League.
Yep.
And it was on like a 45-15 run coming into tonight. Tonight, it's more hit or miss in the 500 range, 50-50 type of deal. You know, one game will go over, the other game won't type of thing. But I tell you what, man, there's been a lot of goals scored in these NHL games lately.
Yeah, scoring is up, obviously. You know, there's only a handful, I think, of really elite goaltenders. And I think right now, you are seeing that based on some of the rule changes and everything else and a lot of the power plays that are being called, special teams, a big thing. And yeah, a lot of overs. And you're right, over 1.5 seems to be the way to go over the last month or so.
And they haven't adjusted the, I don't think that many people bet it.
No.
You know, the hockey, you know, the sports books have bigger things to worry about than people betting over 1.5 first period props. But how did you do in the NHL tonight? The Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Panthers. Wild hockey game, 5-4. They end up getting it done in overtime. How did the NHL treat you tonight?
Yeah, I had the Leafs in the over, which worked out well. The one result I'm obviously not very happy about is your Montreal Canadiens beating Winnipeg. Not that I laid the price of Winnipeg, but I got a lot of Jets futures. I jumped on the Jets a long time ago. And I got a lot of futures with them in the division, in the West. and doing some damage. And certainly I was expecting 2 points, especially when Kyle Connor opened the scoring. But Montreal was four straight. Hellebuck got a rare off night, and that was definitely a result I could have gone without.
All right, so let's get down to business, Cohen. Countdown to kickoff is on. Cohen is a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan. And the Bills right now are 2 wins away from returning to the Super Bowl, but it's not going to be easy to beat the Cincinnati Bengals and probably the Kansas City Chiefs yet, Cohen. There's so many crazy scenarios that could still play out depending on the results this weekend, but one of the crazy scenarios could be if Jacksonville could beat the Kansas City Chiefs outright and the Buffalo Bills beat the Cincinnati Bengals, then the Bills will be hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Conference Championship game.
Well, all year we talked about how important that one seed was to the Bills, and we definitely both were obviously really, really hoping they would grab it. They had it in their grasp with 2 weeks left. Obviously, then the DeMar Hamlin situation happens in Cincinnati, which takes them out of the opportunity to be that one seed. And now, you know, they host the Bengals. It sort of goes full circle. The game that didn't get played in week 17 gets played this week. And it's funny because, you know, watching that Bills Dolphins game, Buffalo's looks like they're up 21-0. They call back the touchdown on Dawson Knox, ends up, you know, being a field goal at 17-0. I thought at that point, I'm not sure how you felt. I felt the game was over. I felt it was just going to be like, you know, similar to Buffalo, New England last year in the wild card round where Buffalo could name their score. And then all of a sudden, you know, I don't know what the hell happened. You get a couple of Josh Allen turnovers, you get 7 sacks, you get a strip fumble in the first play of the third quarter, which results in a Miami touchdown. Skylar Thompson's out there making plays. I don't think I've ever felt worse after a Bills playoff win than I felt after that game. And all I could think about is, man, oh, man, they're going to have to play so much better next week to beat the Bengals. And then I watched the Bengals play against the Ravens. And again, I thought that Cincinnati would have their way with them. And they really couldn't get anything going offensively. Higgins and Chase couldn't, no big plays out of them. They couldn't protect Burrow. Eli Apple gets hurt. The secondary was crap after that, even though he came back. He wasn't very good. Another offensive lineman gets hurt. So the Bengals now have 3 starters on their own line that'll probably miss this game. And I'm thinking like, wow, the Bengals aren't nearly as good as I thought they were going to be. So weird game, because I expected a lot more out of both the Bills and Bengals, you know, facing Skylar Thompson and facing, you know, Snoop Huntley. You would have thought that those two teams would have rolled, and it was quite the opposite. The Bengals were lucky. They got the 98-yard touchdown on the Huntley miscue on the QB keeper, or else Baltimore could have easily won that game. So interesting game coming up. I think both the Bills and Bengals probably feel they're both going to have to play a lot better than they played last week, this week, with that game in Buffalo.
I agree with a lot of what you said there, and I was thinking the same thing, and I said the same thing. I was live on the air with Scotty Farrell right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Networks during the Buffalo Bill game. And I said, man, they're going to have to play a lot better if they're, you know, they really want to legitimately win a Super Bowl for real. But as you stated, then you saw Cincinnati get all they can handle. I guess the moral of the story is nothing comes easy at this time of the year for anybody. And I guess it's also fitting that the Bengals and the Bills will resume play. And then after, potentially, there's a neutral field. But the Bills, this has been a problem, Cohen. As we're in conversation with the Big E, Eric Cohen, I am Gabriel Morenci with the Bills. And I think the Bills are going to find a way to win this football game. But if there's one quarterback that we've seen that is dangerous, even with a bad offensive line, it is Joe Burrow, right? In a one-game single elimination, the guy's got ice in his veins, Joe Burrow does. And we've seen, Cohen, the Buffalo Bills, they either start slow or they start strong and then take the pedal off the metal. They have a problem playing 60 minutes of consistent, precise football. And it could cost them eventually at some point. They dodged the bullet against the Miami Dolphins. I don't think that Josh Allen will turn the ball over as much against the Bengals, but they can't afford as many mistakes as they make. And they're really all just self-inflicted wounds, Cohen.
Yeah, I love Josh Allen, and I think we're all a little bit spoiled. We watched him play pretty much flawless football last year against the Patriots and Chiefs, and I, I know going into the playoffs, I was sort of expecting that Josh Allen, not the Josh Allen that turned the ball over in the red zone and, you know, just seemed to try to do too much. I think the Bills really got to have a more simple game plan. I like the fact, obviously, that Diggs and Davis both had big days, and I do feel like the Bills can exploit that. I don't think the Cincinnati secondary is very good at all with, you know, the Ouzier injury early. Now they got a rookie out there with Eli Apple. Apple hurt his shoulder last week, and I feel like, you know, there really should not be any issues with Josh being able to find big plays down the field against that team. The issue is going to be, can the Bills secondary hold up and play as well as the Ravens secondary played? Because the Ravens secondary certainly was a blueprint on how to play those four receivers the Bengals are going to have out there. Like I mentioned earlier, Chase Higgins, you know, Boyd and Hurst, none of them made big plays. There wasn't a play for over 20 yards, I don't think. So the Ravens found a way with their game plan to really not give up much of anything to Joe Burrow, who barely threw for 200 yards. I'm hoping that, you know, the Bills secondary can have the same type of effort, but definitely won't be easy.
We saw Joe Burrow was definitely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens made him uncomfortable, and the kid's got ice in his veins, but he was throwing off his back foot. He was hurried quite often. And as you say, the Buffalo Bills are going to have to get pressure on him to protect their secondary from the lethal arsenal of wide receivers and tight ends that the Cincinnati Bengals have. But everything that you just stated before, too, it seems like it's almost kind of just like a perfect storm for Buffalo in this game. Cincinnati have a lot of things going against them. Buffalo have a lot of things going for them. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, but it's not like the window of opportunity closes for the Buffalo Bills this year. It's not like everybody's a free agent and everybody's leaving, but, you know, yes, it's going to be tough.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
To beat the Kansas City Chiefs on a neutral field, most likely, but the time is now. This is it. You know, as beat up as the Cincinnati Bengals are, you get them in Buffalo. If this game was in Cincinnati, I'd be a little bit more concerned for the Buffalo Bills. But I think the Bills are going to win. You know, the points, 4.5, 5, could be tricky, guys. You could get backdoored, and Burrow's not going down easy. More with the Big E, Eric Cohen on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, TSN Edge, throwing it down with us. And, of course, Cohen's been part of Sports Rage history. So, Cohen, big weekend of football coming up. The rematch themes just, you know, continue to arise time and time again. We talked about the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. Before we move on, do you believe the Buffalo Bills are going to cover the point spread? What's your early week pick right now?
I'm actually a little bit surprised that the spread is that high. I think if Cincinnati played better than they would have played against Baltimore, that it would have been 3.5. It's going to be 4.5, 5 by the time it's game time. For me, it's not a play. I do like the over, though. I do think this game's going to be high scoring. I don't really think either team's going to be able to shut down the other team. You know, not maybe as high as Buffalo Miami was, but as long as the weather holds up, I do think that you can expect both Allen and Burrow to have pretty good days. And, you know, the one thing that I think the Bills are really missing, and we knew it was going to be a problem, obviously the Von Miller injury from the game in Detroit, and I was hoping, the Bills were hoping, we'd have him back by the playoffs. This wasn't the case, and you know, he would have wrecked havoc against the Bengals offensive line. I mean, he did last year in the Super Bowl against that team, right? He, you know, the Bengals do not protect Burrow well. So if Buffalo could find a way to get pressure on him, that's going to be the key. And it would have been great to have Miller out there, but we're going to have to do it without him. I do think the Bills win. I think it's probably a close game, high-scoring game. And against Kansas City, again, we're going to have the same issue. You know, when we beat the Chiefs earlier this year, Miller had a huge game. And, you know, he had a couple of really big sacks on Mahomes late in that game. They're going to have to find other guys stepping up to counter the fact that he won't be in the lineup.
Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars, another rematch. The Chiefs beat them 27-17. earlier this year. November the 13th is when they played. And actually, you know what? It's interesting. That's the last time the Buffalo Bills lost a game, actually, was that weekend, November the 13th, against the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. So-called the Jags. Bills fans, you know, are hoping, number one, that they don't have to play Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs on a fast track in Atlanta. But it's not just that. It's the fact that if the Jags can knock off the Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills would have home field in the AFC Conference Championship game. What do you think the chances are? Can the Jacksonville Jaguars actually win this game, in your opinion, Cohen? Can they cover the spread in this game? What are you doing with this one?
I don't think that Jacksonville's got a great chance. Kansas City, I mean, man, oh, man, have they ever had a cream puff of a schedule the last month and a half since they lost to the Bengals in Cincinnati. They haven't had to play anybody. And they got the bye week last week. You know, their schedule has consisted of games against Denver and the Raiders down the stretch. They're so rested. They have really no adversity they've had to deal with at all. Like, think of all the adversity Buffalo and Cincinnati have had to deal with. Kansas City's had none of it. You know, Kansas City lost to the Bills and the Bengals in the regular season, but because the AFC West was garbage, they haven't had to play anyone else. And so that'll benefit them. The Jags will be on a huge high, but, I don't think they're ready to take that step to win a game at Arrowhead. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great quarterback in this league, and he played very well down the stretch in the second half last week. But, you know, that team just isn't ready to be able to beat the Chiefs. And so, you know, you're going to get a well-rested Chiefs team that really didn't have to do very much playing in the AFC Championship game. Doesn't seem fair, but that's the reality.
And you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and listen, they beat the Chargers last week. But, Cohen, look at that. Look at that Jag secondary, bro. Like, there was more green space than a golf course, man. They were just dropping back. They drop back. They play this soft shell coverage that you could just dump it off all day long. And only five teams gave up more passing yards in the National Football League than the Jacksonville Jags did. And sometimes I'll give a team a benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, like call like the Georgia Bulldogs. People said, oh, well, look, they gave up this many yards in the air and stuff. Yeah, they were winning by 30 every week.
That's right.
Right? Like, the Jags aren't winning by 30 every week, and they're still giving up 240 yards a game in the air. That's a freaking problem when you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, listen,
Mahomes is going to pick them apart, and Kelsey's going to kill them over the middle of the field.
He will. You're right. And, listen, they didn't deserve to beat the Chargers. I think Brandon Staley is one of the few coaches that could find a way to blow that game. You obviously heard Joey Bosa's comments about that game, too. Jacksonville was very lucky to win that game, and they're not going to be so lucky on the road at Arrowhead. Just think, like, they needed every break in the book in the second half to win at home against a beat-up Chargers team. Now they're going on the road to Arrowhead to face a well-rested Chiefs team. Don't like their chances.
What do you think of the New York Giants' chances? Our boy Brian Daboll's done a great job with the New York Giants. You look at Daniel Jones and his body type. He's not quite as thick as Josh Allen, but very similar. I mean, Jones is a big kid. People don't really realize it. He's a big dude. So I always thought that he'd be able to do some of the same things that Allen did, that they would call some of the same plays, and they have, especially with Jones being so aggressive running the football. Here's another rematch, Cohen. Obviously, it's the third time that they're playing this year, but you have the emergence of Kayvon Thibodeau. This Giant defensive line is playing great football. What do you make of this game? Giants getting 7.5 at FanDuel right now.
Yeah, I like the Giants with the hook. I definitely feel like it's going to be a close game. We saw last week it's very tough to beat the same team three times in a row. Those games divisional.
I think you can beat the team three times in a row, but it's hard to beat. It's hard to kill the same team three times in a row. You know what I mean?
You know what? And credit to Brian Daboll, because he coached the right way week 18 when he played Philadelphia, and he knew the game. When he played the Eagles, he knew the game meant nothing. They were locked into the seed they were in there, and they knew they were going to Minnesota, and they played nobody. And that's the way you got to coach. And that, you know, I'll never get over what Brandon Staley did week 18 to his team. But, you know, Dable's done, he's pushed all the right buttons. And if you watch that Giants game against the Vikings, the Giants aren't a very talented team, but man, oh man, do they play hard. And they played extremely well. Obviously, I don't think Daniel Jones could throw for 300 yards again like he did against the Vikings, because this Eagles secondary is much, much better. But you're right. Daniel Jones, the dual threat quarterback, runs the ball so well. I think you'll see both him and Hurts make a lot of plays with their feet. And I think this game's going to be decided in the fourth quarter. I think even though the Eagles are rested, the Giants have so much momentum. I think they go in there and give them a good game. I think it's going to be very tight.
It's a good point that you raised as far as just the difficulty factor in throwing the football. They did a great job against the Minnesota Vikings, but we were talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars giving up 239.3 yards per game in the air, which is ranked 27th in the National Football League, along with the Dolphins, actually, to give up the exact same amount. And we saw they just got carved up in the air. The Minnesota Vikings are the second worst pass defense yards allowed, 266.9. And as Cohen mentioned, the Philadelphia Eagles, well, they're on the other end of the spectrum.
Yep.
They're the number one pass defense in the NFL, 179.8 yards per game. That's pretty stingy, Cohen. But, you know, the fact is, I don't think the Eagles are just going to kill them. And then, so in other words, when you get in 7.5, that back door is always going to be open. Yeah. Philadelphia really haven't played a competitive game in a little while. And it's sort of like the same key as last week. If Saquon Barkley can get going and move the sticks, chew up some clock, the Giants really can hang around in this football game. So, Cohen, before we get you out of here, we got a couple of minutes. The Dallas Cowboys, and a lot of people believed in them on Monday night. I took the Cowboys. We'll ask you who you had in a second in that game. But we had the Cowboys against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it surprised me, and I don't know, I guess I'm naive, Cohen, because FanDuel opened up a 4.5. And I thought that was light. And then I'm starting to get tweets from everybody, and they said, oh, it's actually 3.5 everywhere else. And it was.
Yep.
It was 3.5 everywhere else. FanDuel then moved to 3.5 overnight. Right now, it's settled in at 3 everywhere. Wow. -3. FanDuel everywhere, every credible book, MGM, Bet365, whatever. It's 3 everywhere right now, Cohen, which is pretty insane to me, which I don't get it. I don't know what I'm missing about this. I don't know if people, it's what they saw last. Because I got to tell you, man, it was like 99.9% of everybody loved the Bucks the other night. Now suddenly, what, everyone loves the Cowboys to beat the Niners? I don't get it, Cohen. Love the Niners at 3 now. This is getting crazy.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said, Gabe. It's what you just watched, right? We just watched on Monday Dallas play a perfect game other than Brett Maher. Everyone else played really well. Even though they didn't really run the ball that well, I think, you know, it was Dak Prescott and obviously that group of receivers that played incredibly well. Dak played probably the best game of his career. And that's what it is. It's what you just saw. Obviously, you know, the Cowboys have a couple guys on defense that can make big plays. Tampa Bay didn't do much of anything. Brady got a bunch of garbage yards late, but Tampa couldn't
run the
ball.
Because they're a bad team, right? Yeah. Tampa are not a good football team. That's why.
People kept waiting on, you know, Brady to flip a switch. And he just, you know, at 45 years old, there's no switch to be flipped. And I agree. I thought Dallas was the play Monday, but I'm with you 100%. That's a very light line. Don't forget, you know, San Francisco is arguably the most talented team in the NFC. And yes, they're starting Brock Purdy. And I guess, I get it that you're going to question him being the last pick of the draft, being a guy that nobody knew until Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. But he's done enough to prove to me that he can manage that team. San Fran's got playmakers all over the field. San Fran beat Dallas in Dallas last year, and San Fran wasn't nearly as good back then as they are now. Don't forget, you know, Christian McCaffrey's healthy. They just got Deebo Samuel. He's now healthy. Ayuk's healthy. Like, San Fran is a rested team, and they are a talented team, and I believe that they're going to win this game by at least 7. I think that's a very light line. And Dallas, you know, again, Dallas has had their games this year where they looked amazing. They looked amazing against the Vikings. They looked amazing against Tampa Bay. Don't forget, 1 week earlier, they got their butts whipped by Washington, right? They're not consistent. And Dak Prescott admitted that. When he was asked about Brett Maher, he said the same thing. Listen, don't say too much about this guy because, you know, 1 week earlier, I was crap, right? That's the NFL. It's not what you just saw. It's the whole body of work. And to me, San Fran's proved over the whole body of work that they're a lot better than a field goal favorite at home against Dallas.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, throwing it down with us. Follow him on Twitter. The real Eric Cohen. Cohen, always a pleasure, my man. Let's get this thing. Go Bills. And we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Circle the wagons. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
The Twisted Tuesday, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Shout out to our boy, the Big E, Eric Cohen. Always cool kicking it with Eric Cohen, TSN Edge. So countdown to kickoff is on. You know, really, really interesting weekend of football that we have coming up. We all assume that we think we know what's going to happen. None of us thought it was going to be a 27-0 game last week and that the Jags would come back. Nobody ever said, oh, Seattle will be leading at the half. Right, we don't know. That's you know, that's why sports and specifically the National Football League, you know, is so entertaining during the playoffs. It is the ultimate reality television, right? You don't know what's going to happen. You think you know what's going to happen, but right now we could have, you know, hopefully you're right more than you're wrong, but there's always going to be a surprise. And for me, and like I said, I could be wrong. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys are going to San Francisco and beat them. Right, for me, the team that people seem to be dismissing too easily are the Cincinnati Bengals against the Buffalo Bills. And I say this as a Buffalo Bill fan. But I think people are dismissing the Bengals. Well, they have offensive line issues. Like, they're automatically going to get smoked. I don't know. Have you seen Joe Burrow play before? Have you seen Ja'Marr Chase play before? Have you seen their, you know, they're pretty good. Right? And Joe Burrow's used to dealing with a bad offensive line. So, that's something I want to get to, but I've noticed now, so with the Dallas game, and a lot of people do like Dallas, right? It's evident. A lot of times, guys, you know, when point spreads will move and stuff, people think, oh, the money's really coming in and stuff. It's not really the case all the time. Like, you know, the head of FanDuel, one of their head, you know, the risk trader there, John Sheeran, comes on the network, was talking about that. Said they set a number what they believe, and people, like, betting on it doesn't change their mind on it. And he said, what changes their mind is injuries, what changes their power rankings, right? So there's kind of a misconception. Oh, there's a lot of money. No, they think someone's hurt or they think this or that. This is a little bit different because these games are so isolated. Nobody's injury is flying under the radar, right? So this really is, and there's just so much money that comes in on this stuff now. I mean, sports betting is legal in like 30 states now. So The marketplace is as big as it's ever been. You get early line movement. You really do. These numbers move. And we saw it last week. He who hesitates is lost in this world. And that's the case in anything. Oh, I want to ask that hot girl out. Well, too bad. You waited too long. The jackass that lives across the hall in your condo asked her out first. You know what I mean? He who hesitates is lost. You want something, you've got to get it. Like, you know. And look at last week. The Cincinnati Bengals were 5.5-point favorites at one point. Right? What did they close at? 8.5. They ended up winning by 7. Like, there's all kinds of, like, crazy moves. Now, the Buffalo Bills were, like, 7.5. They closed at 13.5. They ended up only winning by 3. But you see, the numbers will move. So a lot of times, like in a regular season, the numbers settle in, Right, the number in the regular season, NFL numbers will settle in. The odds makers will post the numbers Sunday night, Sunday evening, as the you know the games are ending, and boom, sportsbooks post the, you know, the following week's numbers. You know, in today's day and age, a lot of them have them in advance, but you know what I mean, the updated numbers. And then boom, the bettors will jump in on it. The, you know, the so-called sharps, but the pros, the people that are betting real money, that you know what I mean, they'll jump in early, and they'll see the number. Because a lot of casual people will wait until the last minute. They don't even know what they're going to take yet, right? They'll sort of wait and, okay, I'm going to get into the last second. But it's sort of like shopping the last minute before, like, you know, on Christmas Eve. Everything's gone. And you're stuck. You know what I mean? And you don't have a choice. You're like, oh, man, I got to go to Walgreens now and get a gift. I don't have a choice. So it's sort of like, man, I got to tell you, I got to lay the 13 and a half. Right? There's always a better number. And you know, I'm going to be interested to see which ways these numbers go. But clearly, people are buying into the Dallas Cowboys. Because it's not like San Francisco have some injury suddenly. Like, oh, man, did you hear Kittle is out? Oh, did you hear McCaffrey's out? No, they're not. Like, you know what I mean? This opened at 4.5. This has moved to 1.5. That's pretty significant. You don't see that much movement. You know, you don't see that, like, the odds makers be wrong that much from their original, like, judgment. And FanDuel throws a 4.5 up. Now they've got a 3. That's a pretty significant move. I'm starting to see some of the media, NFL media types with their picks that are starting to come out. Now, you know, it'll start Wednesday, Thursday, etc. But a lot of people are calling the upset. I think, listen, what happens is we talk about people remembering what they saw last often. And we do this in life no matter what, right? You'll just always sort of, you know, if you're judging a beauty pageant or you're judging, like, food, like, you know what I mean? Oh, this is great. Oh, next, oh, this is great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything, you know what I mean? Everything is sort of, right? That's the way this is. But to me, you know, you look at this, what, for what people saw last, and I think people are underestimating how average and mediocre the Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually are. And I've noticed right now as well that there's some sort of, you know, we all do this. This is what happens when there's not a lot of games left as well. It's sort of like the NFL draft. Somebody is amazing, but whatever. You're trying to find something, right? Trying to find something to hang your hat on, something to criticize, something to say, wow, this could be a problem. And I've noticed that what they're coming up with this is that Brock Purdy hasn't beaten anybody good. That Brock Purdy faced teams that finished with a combined record of 35-49-1. Like, really? So when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, when he came in basically as the sixth-round draft pick for Bledsoe and stuff, now in hindsight, like, can anybody here put their hand up? I'll give you money if you can. And tell me that, yeah, you know what? He really didn't play a tough schedule. Like, tell me who he played and why. Like, right? Like, it's just, come on. Is this what you're trying to find? So what? So suddenly the Dallas Cowboys are so much better, and they are going to rattle Brock Purdy more than anything that he has ever seen before in the NFL, despite the fact that, you know, he hasn't lost as a starter in the last 5 games. This is the one that, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this before. Everybody else sucks that he saw. Come on. Right? He beat the Miami Dolphins. Right? he beat the Dolphins. He beat the Seahawks. Like, and it's not just him. They have Christian McCaffrey as well, which I'll give credit to San Francisco. Like, they're all in right now. And it's kind of crazy that they went all in to bring in McCaffrey, and then it ends up with Brock Purdy at the quarterback, but it is what it is, and it almost just seems like destiny. But I don't buy it. Like I say, you know, I'm reading stuff. I'm seeing a lot of people out there talking about how Brock Purdy hasn't beaten anybody good, and, oh, he's going to get exposed against the Cowboys. It's not just Brock Purdy either. You're not just playing Brock Purdy. You're playing arguably the best defense in the National Football League. On the road, on the West Coast, back-to-back road games. Their offense is stacked. Their offensive line is physical as hell. Like I said, this is not, like, basically, like, you know, You just fought like a fighter in your in the mid-40s. Now you're fighting a fighter in their prime, in their mid-20s. So it's like this is just a completely different operation that the Cowboys are going to be facing. And people, I'm telling you, I've been around a long time, and I've fallen for these traps. You see these teams, you're like, oh, my God, they can do this, they can do that. No, there's levels to this stuff. There's a reason why those teams were playing in the wild card weekend last weekend. They're not as good, right? And the teams in a divisional round that are playing at home are better. You know, they have better records, and they generally win these football games. And in fact, I want to get you the exact number, but what is it? It's 29-11. So divisional round games, the last 30 divisional round games, the home team is 29-11 straight up. That's not a lot of upsets out of 30 games. So basically one out of four type of thing. So in other words, there'll be one road team will win this weekend. According to, you know, if you want to look at it, like I said, people, and then the next week, there's even a next level. Like teams with the bye, it matters. And it's not just, oh, they have home field. No, they're better, right? They're just better. And not only are they better, they play the less game, they're healthier, and yeah, they have home field. So that's pretty significant. The last 30 games, 29-11 home teams in a divisional round. And I hate to say it as a diehard, lifelong Buffalo Bill fan, that, you know, I don't like the fact that the Buffalo Bills are vulnerable in this spot, but the Bills, even though they're what? They're on an 8-game win streak. They haven't lost since like November the 13th. They haven't lost since that Viking game. That was the day that Jeff Saturday won against the Raiders, actually. I was at that game. I remember I was in the parking lot of Allegiant seeing the Bills blow the lead late in the game. But it hasn't come easy for them. And Josh Allen in the red zone has been kind of hit or miss. And Josh Allen in the fourth quarter has been kind of hit or miss as well. And Joe Burrow turns the ball over less than Josh Allen does. And I don't care whether they're playing in Buffalo. I don't care whether they're playing in Tennessee. I don't care whether they're playing in Cincinnati. I don't care whether they're playing in Paris, France. Josh Allen turns the ball over. Like, he turns the ball over at home. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if he's on the road or not. Like, if Josh Allen does not turn the ball over, then the Bills, like, would roll teams. Like, honestly, like, if you look at the Bills' losses this year, every one of their losses, they beat themselves. The Viking game, Josh Allen fumbled the ball trying to take a knee basically on his own goal line, right? Like, so that was that game. The Miami Dolphin game that they lost earlier in the year, they had a wide open wide receiver in the end zone on the last play of the game, and Josh Allen one-hopped it. Like, it should have been a touchdown. Like, Josh Allen literally, he threw it. It's like it slipped out of his hand type thing. He's got bad luck, like, inside the five, Josh. Remember last year, whatever it is, he slipped on Monday Night Football against Tennessee? He was going in for the touchdown, and he fell on, like, a fourth and one, and that was the end of the game. There's been a lot of these little episodes. If they could eliminate those episodes, they would really be lethal, and they would be that sort of super powerhouse team. They kind of still are a powerhouse. Like, people criticize them. Oh, they didn't cover this or that. Well, it's not easy to win every week in the NFL. And they haven't lost in, like, you know, 2 months. But the concern for me in this game is, like I said, I think the spread's a little high. That's the one game. Like, Kansas City, I'm surprised. Like, I could live with Kansas City at 9.5 if it was higher. I think KC could mess Jacksonville up. The Giant number is a good one. It's an accurate one. I think the Cowboys number is too light, and I think the Bills number is too high. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. Australian Open tennis continuing. It's been a long day and night there. It's raining. It's raining in Melbourne, and they keep stopping and starting these matches, like on and off. I think the players have to be getting frustrated with this. Matthias is getting frustrated with this late night tennis. I don't know what it is. I played one play last night. I jumped in on for Kina in game. I won that. And today, earlier tonight on Game Time Decisions, I started to look. There were a lot of big favorites tonight. I felt like there was going to be some parlay busters. I started to put some parlays together, and I was like, you know what? It just doesn't feel right. I feel like I'm forcing this. So Nadal loses. You're about to blow a gasket because Gasquet lost. There were a lot of five sets. Nadal goes down in three straight. The American, Mackenzie McDonald, takes down Rafael Nadal. Your frustration continues. Do you have any overnight picks for us here, Matthias? Are you going to continue to grind here? Are you going to keep clicking?
Oh, you know I'm going to dance with this rain, Gabe. And you know what? I'm going to keep going with John Isner. I'll play him in game. You know, right now he's up one set. I hope Mannarino takes this set, because if he does jump on Isner right away, I see that him taking this late with that serve. And Cerundolo, Gabe, against Moutet. I like that late night tennis play. Cressy against Vinolas. I'm loving that. And your boy Shapovalov. Let's go. He's going to take that game against Taro Daniel.
You know how I feel about Isner. Haven't we been down the Isner road? We've been down the Isner road before. Always take the over in Isner.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In his matches, Isner, and John Isner. Didn't I have like a heart attack about him one night and won in some tournament? Andreescu's getting all she can handle right now. We'll see you at 6 o'clock Eastern, SiriusXM Channel 159, Game Time Decisions. If not, we'll be back at midnight Eastern. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.